words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, clouds advanced with hailstones and bolts of lightning. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemy. With great bolts of lightning, he routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed and the foundations of the earth laid bare at your rebuke, Lord, at the blast of breath from your nostrils. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I am not guilty of turning from my God. All his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. I have been blameless before him and have kept myself from sin. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To the blameless, you show yourself blameless. To the pure, you show yourself pure. But to the devious, you show yourself shrewd. You save the humble, but bring low those whose eyes are haughty. You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You make your saving help my shield, and your right hand sustains me. Your help has made me great. You provide a broad path for my feet so that my ankles do not give way. I pursued my enemies and overtook them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I crushed them so that they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. You armed me with strength for battle. You humbled my adversaries before me. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight, and I destroyed my foes. They cried for help, but there was no one to save them. To the Lord, but he did not answer. I beat them as fine as wind-blown dust. I trampled them like mud in the streets. You have delivered me from the attacks of the people. You have made me the head of nations. People I did not know now serve me. Foreigners cower before me. As soon as they hear of me, they obey me. They lose all heart. They come trembling from their strongholds. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, my Savior. He is the God who avenges me, who subdues nations under me, who saves me from my enemies. You exalted me above my foes. From a violent man, you rescued me. Therefore, I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing the praises of your name. He gives his king great victories. He shows unfailing love to his anointed, to David and to his descendants forever.
Do turn back to Psalm 18, page 550, third of three psalms we've been looking at. Call them Easter psalms because all of them actually look forward to the great truth of Jesus' resurrection. And we come to this last one. Let me just read verse 30 again and then I'll pray. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. Father God, thank you for your word, that it is flawless and trustworthy. All those great truths we've just sung about, may we know them now as we listen. Thank you the way your word shows us your way with us, how you deal with us, which is perfect. And so help us to understand that from this psalm, that we indeed trust you and take refuge in you. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Well, three short, simple words which can have massive significance. I love you. And often we say them a bit too quickly, a little too easily, so they sound almost trite. And I've been sort of aware of that this last week as I've thought about the many, many times I have said those three words, and it struck me that the member of the household to whom I've said those words most often is the dog, Milo, which isn't quite right. Jules has been away for much of the week, but I fear it might still have been the way. Look how David, though, begins the psalm. I love you, Lord, my strength. I think it's one of only two places in the Psalms which speak of our love for God. Most of the Psalms tell us about his love for us, his unfailing love, steadfast love, great love. But here in one of the Psalms, David says to God, I love you. And actually here he uses a rather unusual word. It's a sort of word which has a sense of, I love you with all my heart, kind of thing. Intense, emotional. It's the word which elsewhere is only used of God's love, his compassionate love for his people. So this psalm is a love song. Don't know if you're into karaoke in the way that Vaughan very much is a fan. I've sort of studiously avoided it. Maybe some of you like belting out your 1980s love ballads. Well, here's a love song, not from the 1980s, 3,000 years old. But I want us all to belt it out, to sing along. I want us to understand how we can sing this song, why we should sing this song and make it our own. Christians should be those who can say to God, I love you. Think of that famous verse, Romans 8:28. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Who've been called according to his purpose. Or 1 Peter 1, though you haven't seen him, the Lord Jesus, you love him, filled with glorious, inexpressible joy. We should love him. And here's a love song for us to sing. I say that, Stella was right to read the sort of title bit, which is part of the original text. And very clearly, this is David's song. Lots of the psalm seems to be particular to him. It's his experience, not quite ours. We can't say, as he says in verse 43, "You've made me the head of nations. People I did not know now serve me. Foreigners cower before me. As soon as they hear of me, they obey me." This is David's song, surely. And David's not just any old believer. He's the king, as he makes clear. He's the servant of the Lord. He's the anointed one, he says. So we don't make this song our own just by assuming we can step into David's shoes. As we've seen in the other psalms we've looked at, David speaks prophetically out of his own experience, but inspired by the Spirit, his words look beyond his own experience, look forward to one who was to come, Jesus, great David's greater son, who would be the promised king, the anointed one, the Messiah. And supremely, this is Jesus' song. But because it's Jesus' song, it can be our song too. And we should learn to sing it, because he is our king, because we are now in him. So as we've done with the other psalms, as we look at this one, we're going to think first what David's saying. Then we'll think how the full meaning of the psalm we only really hear from the lips of Jesus. And then we'll think how in Christ we can make these words our own. So as I said, we're given these psalms not simply as a word to us, to teach us. They do that. They're also given as words for us. And we are meant to sing this song as his people. It's a long psalm. I think the third longest psalm. But it breaks into really just three main sections. We'll look at each in turn. First section is verses 1 to 19, where essentially David is saying, "You have rescued me." He doesn't say it as sort of matter-of-facty as that. He's bowled over in love and praise towards God. He says, verse 2, to the Lord, "You're my strength, my rock, my refuge, my deliverer, my refuge, my shield, my salvation, my stronghold." He piles up the images. "You have kept me, you've saved me, you've protected me. I trust you utterly because you've proved yourself utterly trustworthy." And he remembers the desperate straits that he had been in. Look at verse 4. "The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me." He was like a drowning man being sucked under, completely and utterly helpless. But verse 6, "In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. And from his temple, he heard. My voice, my cry came before him, into his ears." God hears. And then God, in all his awesome majesty and power, acts. And the verses that follow are extraordinary, as the God of heaven parts the heavens and comes down. The whole of creation shakes, as it were, to its core. It's poetic language. We're not meant to be thinking, "I don't remember this quite happening in David's life." Come off it, David. You're over-egging it a bit. That's a bit of an exaggeration, isn't it? He's not so much describing the many times God had rescued him. He is interpreting those rescues. He's using language that recalls the Exodus at Mount Sinai. God had come down amidst dark clouds and thunder and lightning and earthquakes. At the Red Sea, as he says in verse 15, the valleys of the sea were exposed. The foundations of the earth, as it were laid bare. So he's not describing how God rescued him. He's describing who rescued him. He's saying it was you, the God of the Exodus, who rescued your people all those years ago from Egypt. You rescued me. You saved me, the mighty, majestic God who heard his people's cry all those years ago and saved them. you heard my cry, and you came to save me. And there's a wonderful contrast between the titanic scale of the rescue and, as it were, little helpless David. Look at verse 16. This God reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy. And as he says at the end of verse 19, he rescued me because he delighted in me. It's one thing to know God is the Savior, the one who saves his people. It's another thing to know God is my Savior, who's rescued me, and rescued me because he delighted in me. And that's what moves David to pour out his heart in praise to God and say, I love you, Lord. And David's looking back on his life as he writes this, but inspired by the Spirit, he's also looking forward to the Lord Jesus. And David's song, even more truly, is Christ's song. In a fuller sense, it was true of Jesus, that the cords of death, as it says in verse 4, the cords of the grave coiled around him. Torrents of destruction overwhelmed him. As the snares of death confronted him, he knew distress beyond anything David experienced. Think of Jesus in Gethsemane. And God delivered him, raising him from death itself. That extravagant language in verses 7 to 15 is even more fitting for the truly earth-shattering event when Jesus was raised from the dead. Actually, the Exodus that David's recalling was just a dry run for that redemption, that deliverance that God did for the Lord Jesus. God delivered Jesus from death itself. Delivered him because he delighted in him and all he had done. This is my son, he had said, whom I love. In him I am well pleased. It's Jesus' song. For all the different ways God had rescued David, nothing approaches the scale of the rescue that Jesus knew. So most fittingly, these words belong to Jesus. But if we're a Christian, his deliverance was also our deliverance. We are in him, the New Testament keeps saying. And so his song can and should be now our song too. I was dead, the New Testament says, dead in trespasses and sin. My foes, the powers of evil, the sinful desires that are within me were too strong for me. And amazingly, God parted the heavens and came down. Wonderfully, God took hold of me and saved me. He raised me up with Christ, made me alive in him. And amazingly, we can say, he raised me bafflingly, extraordinarily, because he delighted in me. He loved me even before the creation of the world. And he continues to keep me and guard me. No one can snatch me out of his hand. So if we're a Christian, this can be our song. This should be our song too. Okay? Pause. Let's say together verses 1 to 3. Make them our own. 1 to 3. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. Okay, well, next section is a shorter section, verses 20 to 29, where essentially David says, you have rewarded me. Look at verse 20. The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I am not guilty of turning from my God. Look on to verse 23. I have been blameless before him and have kept myself from sin. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness. And you might well be thinking, I'm not sure those are words, surely, I can say honestly. In fact, given that David was writing this psalm apparently at the end of his life, looking back on it, you might be wondering, how could David sing these words? Had he forgotten about Bathsheba and bumping off Uriah and so on? Well, I want to say surely not. It's the same David who wrote in another psalm, I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. So he can't have been meaning, like, I'm perfect in every way. He might have been meaning, in the particular things my enemies kept accusing me of, I was blameless. I did nothing wrong. Or he might just have been referring to the sort of general direction of his life, that he always sought to go God's way. He didn't turn to other gods. He sought to live according to God's word, even though, of course, he didn't do so perfectly. He's certainly, I think, not sort of trying to brag here and say, look, I've been pretty marvelous, haven't I? I think his purpose is much more to extol God and say, God, you have always been perfectly faithful and righteous. And actually, he goes on to say, look, what I have known in my experience is true for everyone. God rewards the righteous. He's unfailingly good and fair. So he says, verse 25, to the faithful you show yourself faithful. The blameless, you show yourself blameless. The pure, you show yourself pure. But to the devious, you show yourself shrewd. So David's saying, as we live lives of faithfulness and purity and humility and dependence, we can expect to know God's blessing because he rewards the righteous. That's the drift of these verses. But if there is a sense in which David could say these words, how much more could Jesus make these words his own? He could claim the full and literal truth of these words. I've kept the ways of the Lord. I'm not guilty of turning from the Lord. All his laws are before me. I haven't turned away from his decrees. He could say that. He perfectly obeyed. He kept himself utterly from sin. And so he could say, verse 24, the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness. God vindicated him. God exalted him to the highest place in raising him from the dead. So Christ can sing these words. But I want to say amazingly, in Christ, so can we. Verse 24, the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness. Not some righteousness that I've cobbled together by my own efforts. No, wonderfully, Christ has given me his righteousness, all his obedience credited to me, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. And we can know if we're a Christian that my hands and my heart are spotlessly clean now, because the blood of Jesus has washed away every single stain. So we share in Christ's reward. God deals with us now and forever with the same love he shows the Lord Jesus. Rewards, we share in Christ's reward. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So I can sing this. I can say, verse 28, you, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. It's a lovely verse. And maybe some of us here are feeling, my lamp's flickering pretty low at the moment. Maybe you're feeling the darkness is pretty overwhelming in your life at the moment. But in Christ, we can say these words. You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. He'll both sustain and transform. And despite whatever difficulties we might face, we can say verse 29, with your help, I can advance against the troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. because we're in Christ. We have his righteousness. God deals with us now as if we were Jesus, always acting for our good, always acting towards us in love, rewarding us according to the righteousness in which we now share. You've rescued me, you've rewarded me. And then the final section, David says, you've exalted me. You've not just rescued me from my enemies, you've exalted me over my enemies. You've given me victory. Look on to verse 37. I pursued my enemies and overtook them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I crushed them so they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. He's been exalted over his foes. Verse 43, you've made me head of nations. People I did not know now serve me. Foreigners cower before me. As soon as they hear of me, they obey me. Now, of course, David knew that in some measure. He defeated Philistines and Jebusites and Moabites and Arameans and so on. But once again, it's only as we hear these words from the lips of Jesus that these words ring most true. On the cross, Jesus crushed his enemies, triumphing over all the powers of evil. God has exalted him to the highest place, far above every power and dominion. And one day he will hurl every evil power into the pit of hell because he is Lord of all. And even now, throughout the world, people of every nation, tribe, and tongue submit to his rule in France, in China, in Kazakhstan, you name it. People submit to King Jesus. One day, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is his song. But as his people, again, we can join in the song. We can celebrate his victory, his preeminence. It's been a bad week, a bad season for the Arsenal. And yet there's a song that Arsenal fans sing. Arsenal, Arsenal FC, we're by far the greatest team the world has ever seen. And when the fans sing that, the team don't look up from the pitch. We're the greatest team. You're just the fans. Most of you can't play football at all. Now, as fans, they join in the song. It's their team. And they sing. And in the same way, Jesus has conquered. He is preeminent. And so we join in his song and celebrate the fact that he is exalted, our King. Our God is worthy of praise because, verse 50, he gives his King great victories. He shows unfailing love to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. And therefore, in this section, what Christ has proved, the sense in which we can make these words our own too. And we can sing. Verse 30, as for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. When it speaks of God's way, it means his way of dealing with us and with our world, which at times we think maybe could be faulted. It's not quite as we'd do it. We don't understand his way. We're baffled by it. It seems hard. We can trust. No, I can trust his way is perfect. I can trust his word is perfect. I can trust his protection will be perfect. Who is God besides the Lord? Who is the rock except our God? The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, my Savior. We praise him. And with David, we should sing, I love you. I love you, Lord, my strength. May that be our song. Let me pray. You have rescued me. And Father, we praise you that that should be true of us in Christ, through Christ. You rescued us because you delighted in us. And you have rewarded us. You have not dealt with us as our sins deserve. you deal with us according to Christ's righteousness. We praise you for that. You have exalted us because you've raised us up with Christ. We praise you that he is now King of Kings, Lord of Lords, exalted over all. We praise you and we love you. We ask that this should be our song more and more for his sake. Amen.